one of the best, I think, portrayals or the movies of the story, the Nativity, is called The Nativity Story. We have it on DVD at home, and that was a little portion of that. It was a great just kind of picture of what it might have looked like or been like when Mary was visited by an angel from heaven. And so as you think about that story, we're going to look at the story of Mary. The title this morning is Mary, Did You Know? I think Mary did know some things, but there's some things that she was curious about, and so we're going to talk about that. Thank you for doing the Advent, Nichols and Eric, for reading Scripture. I appreciate that. I can keep my hands warm now, right? Well, it all started about 13 years ago, and I've told this story before, but I love telling this story because it's a story about God's miracles and how He intervenes in our lives. And there's many miracles in your life, I'm sure, that you could tell stories of. And you've told the stories multiple times probably because it's impacted your life. The miracle started 13 years ago when our kids turned to us and they said, we want another sibling, all three of them at the time. And I was, I laughed and emphatically said, we are done with having kids. But God had other plans. Later, Susan had dreamt this kind of abstract dream about having, being pregnant. And she didn't understand what it meant at the time, and she had conversations with her sister, and you know how that goes about. They try and figure out what the dream meant, right? And at the time, I wasn't interested in the topic. I wasn't interested in discussing the topic. And then I had a dream, and it was any type of dream seems odd at times. I don't know if you've ever woken up and you're like, what did that dream mean? And so I had a dream, actually, that I remembered, and I woke up remembering that I found this healthy baby, and we were to adopt it or take it in. And so I woke up thinking about how odd that was, and yet it was impeccable timing, because this was after the fact that our kids had said this and Susan had had this other dream. And then I got the nerve to tell Susan the dream. And of course, I remember looking at her face, and the look I thought I saw was, welcome to the party, Matt. Meaning, I'm glad you've joined us in this, whatever God's doing. And so I decided, we decided to start praying, and suggested to Susan that we pray. And little did I know that what God had in store. Well, I remember praying specifically, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I didn't know what to expect. And then time passed, and Susan told me the news that she was pregnant with our fourth child, fourth and final child, should I say. And we call her our bonus baby. Not that our other kids are very important, and every child is a miracle. This child was a little bit out of the realm of, oh, I've got this all planned out. And I don't know if you've planned your life. And you look back and you go, how did I get here? Well, maybe because God took you from there to here, and He had a plan and a purpose. I would assume so. And so we were excited, but a little leery about our age. But God had it all figured out and planned out. He just didn't tell us the details up front. And that seems to be the way God rolls, doesn't it? Maybe it's because he wants us to learn to trust him and obey him before we get all the information about all that's going to be unfolded. And this story that we're looking at today, that we talked about Joseph last week, and we're talking about Mary this week, we understand that this nativity story has miraculous moments, and yet there are ordinary people in this story, like Joseph and Mary. And this story that we tell every year, it becomes familiar to us. We could probably quote the story, tell the story to anyone, because we know about the shepherds, we know about the magi and the three gifts, we know about the star and Mary and Joseph and the cows and the sheep and all of that, and we know about the angels. But my hope is that even though it's familiar, that we will look at the story with fresh eyes this morning. May we be aware and even in awe at the miraculous story that unfolded 2,000 years ago. And so Joseph had this angelic dream. He had this angel come to him in a dream and tell him that it was okay, that Mary was with child, and the child was to be named Jesus. And he had all these plans, I'm sure, to be married and have a family and move to wherever and work as a carpenter. And yet God intervened and said, "This is my plan for you, and here's just a little piece of it. I'll tell you the rest as we go." And then the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Now, Gabriel was one of the main angels. He was one of the archangels. They possibly, scripture indicates that there are possibly seven archangels. And Gabriel is one of those that stands in the presence of God. In fact, when we look at Luke 1:19, we see that when Gabriel came and spoke to Zechariah, remember Zechariah, he was going to be the man that went into the temple, and he was approached by the angel Gabriel, and he did the same thing I did. He laughed. I didn't necessarily laugh that loud, but he laughed at the fact that his wife was going to have a baby in old age. And what does Gabriel say? In Luke 1:19, he says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news." So Zach had this disbelief, and he wasn't able to speak for 9 months. And I'm so glad that didn't happen to me. I can imagine Gabriel is this big dude, and he comes with the message from the Almighty God, and he tells Joseph and Mary at different times, telling them a little of what will happen and what will happen to them and for them and what they're supposed to do. And there's a difference, and we'll talk about this a little bit. There's a difference between Zechariah's response and Mary's response. Zechariah's response was he laughed and he didn't believe it at first. Mary's response was she asked questions in curiosity. And so a few things that I noticed about Mary, three to be exact, and there's more, but we'll just talk about three today. And the first one is that Mary was human. If there are any Catholics in the room, I'm sorry to tell you, Mary is and was human, and she still is. There are beliefs out there that are not biblical. The belief that Mary was born sinless. People believe that. Not true. Not biblical. There's also the belief that Mary, once she was given the message from Gabriel, she was a virgin at that time, and she continued to be a virgin throughout the rest of her life and all into eternity. But that's not scriptural. Mary was chosen by God, yes, and she was highly favored by God because of her willingness, because of her humility, and because she was in the line of David. Not because she was sinless, and not because she would be a virgin for eternity, because that's not also true. Mary was a human like you and I. She was a sinner, and in fact, she acknowledged that she was a sinner in need of a Savior, just like you and I. In Luke 1, 46 through 47, I don't think I have it up on the screen. So if you have your Bibles, you can open your Bible to Luke 1. We're going to be looking at Luke 1 and Luke 2 today. And so Luke 1, 46 through 47, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." This is a prayer and a worship song that she sang. "My soul glorifies the Lord," verse 47, "and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Now, why would you have to say that if you are sinless? You don't. Mary knew that she was a sinner, and she knew that she needed a Savior. The Savior that was born in the womb of Mary had to be born again in her heart. In Mary's heart, Jesus had to be born again in her heart. And so, can you imagine, though, being a parent of a perfect child? I mean, that would be humbling, right? Because you're aware of your sin, and you're raising the Son of God, who is perfect and holy and righteous, and they're 3 years old. And you would be humbled, I would think. And can you even imagine being a sibling of someone who is perfect, right? Can't you just be like more like your brother, Jesus, right? He's perfect. In fact, Jesus had brothers and sisters. We can see in Scripture, we won't go and find all the different places, but one place in particular, Mark 3, 20 through 21. And there's a situation where Jesus enters a house in verse 20. And again, a crowd gathered around Jesus. This is when he was doing his ministry. And the disciples were not even able to eat because there was so much activity, so many people. And verse 21, when his family heard about this, his family, meaning his siblings, they went to take charge of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. So his siblings had a hard time with him being perfect. And they acknowledged they said he was out of his mind. He was crazy. And yet later, one of his brothers, James, chose to follow Jesus, realized that he needed Jesus to save him. And he wrote the book of James. Now, I noticed the other day, I was just watching people watching. I don't know if you do that, but I was watching these crowds and people, adults were walking to a certain place and their children were following them. Have you ever watched that? You know how ducks, they walk and then their chicks follow them? the same idea is that when kids are young, they follow their parents most of the time, where the parent is going. And Jesus followed his parents as a toddler, and he moved with them. He went where the angel told Joseph and Mary to go. They went to Egypt, and then they had to go back to Israel to avoid persecution. And then Jesus was 12. And when he was 12, he had followed his heavenly father by doing what his heavenly father wanted him to do. And he went to the temple, and he spoke about the kingdom of God to them. And he then at age 30, he began his ministry. And in fact, Mary initiated his ministry at a wedding feast, if you can recall that. But then later, Mary follows Jesus. In fact, Mary follows Jesus all the way to the cross. And she is the one that was there before, like the first sight of Jesus, because she was the mother. And she was there at his death at the very end. And so she experienced all of this, and she came to a place where she may have delivered Jesus physically, but she needed Jesus to deliver her spiritually. And she would experience pain and sorrow like any human would. Mary also suffered greatly as the mother of the Savior of the world. Now, remember Simeon was a devout, righteous man. He read scripture, knew scripture. He was waiting. He knew the prophecies. He knew that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. And he was told by the Holy Spirit, in Luke 2, he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw and experienced the Messiah. And so as Mary and Joseph, the parents, brought the child, Jesus, to do for him, this is verse 27 of Luke 2, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant," which is, he's talking about himself, "in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And at that time, verse 33 says, the child's father and mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon told Mary this. Verse 34. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that you will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Mary was told certain specific things about the birth and the future of her son, but there were things that I'm sure she could never fathom until they actually happened. She only was told, she only could maybe consider them and be curious about them, but she had not experienced those things yet. And so the question that was titled on your bulletin is, and for the sermon this morning, is, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary knew that she was human. She knew that she was a Savior. But she also knew she needed a Savior. But she also knew that she was not righteous, and she was humble. At first, she didn't really understand, and it says that she was greatly troubled by the angel's words, And she wondered, what type of message was this? The angel spoke in verse 30 to 33. We have that, right? Chapter 1, Luke 1. Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, put yourself in Mary's shoes for just a brief moment. I mean, why is the angel saying, do not be afraid? My guess is she's afraid. She's standing in the presence of an angel that is from God, that walks and stands in the presence of God. I'm sure she's curious. I'm sure she's overwhelmed. She's humbled. I'm wondering if she was a little leery, and she had a little bit of joy. Unlike Zechariah, who laughed, she didn't laugh, and she was realizing that she was going to have a baby without an earthly father. And so as she listened, she was curious. She asked the question, how can this be? Well, the angel said, with God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. God can make the impossible possible. So God's plan for Mary was a lot different than Mary had pictured in her head. She probably had a plan of a ceremony and coming together and having a marriage, a honeymoon, and raising a family with Joseph. And that did happen. But having a child before that was an interesting turn of events. And then when Gabriel spoke to her about all the things that would happen, it didn't seem possible. I mean, she was a virgin. She had never been with a man. She didn't seem to doubt the fact that it could happen. But she chose to, she asked the question, how will this happen? She didn't ask why. She asked how. How is this to be? And so Mary was a human. She was, number two, she was humble. And number three, Mary trusted and obeyed God. Mary knew little, but just still obeyed. How about you? Are there things in your life that the Lord has spoken to you about, and you have wondered what it might look like if you followed through and obeyed? What will the outcome be? Yeah, but what if this? Yeah, but what if this happens? Well, what if that gets in the way? Or what if I do this and that happens? You might think that it's impossible. Maybe it's your life is a mess and you lack faith that it can be fixed. Well, if you have that disbelief, you need a Savior. Maybe your life is good right now. You're comfortable. You're kind of in neutral, though. And God has spoken to you to step out in faith, but you are not sure the outcome, so you stop in your tracks. Well, in that case, I think you need a Lord. Right? You know the difference between Savior and Lord. They're the same person, Jesus, but there's different meanings to it. And when I was 19, I realized the difference. Jesus is our Savior from our sins and from death. And we have eternal life because of Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But Jesus also has to be our Lord. And what does that mean? Well, the Lord means that we say yes to what he tells us to do. Yes, I will. I am your servant. Yes, I will do what you've asked me to do. Yes, I will step into faith, believing that what you say will happen, I will do. And I may not know all the answers. I may not know the outcome. I may not know what it will look like. I may not know what the hurdles that I'm going to face that you're going to eliminate because you are God. In regards to Mary being obedient and trusting, I thought of this analogy. Well, I came across this analogy, but then I thought of those two guys walking from Massachusetts all the way to Newport, Oregon. And I have a picture of the city of Sweet Home. I think it's called the Long Road title. And this is one of the guys, and they've traveled all the way. They arrived in Sweet Home on Friday night, and they're going to Newport, and they're doing this for America's missing and those who were killed in action from all the wars, and they're raising funds for vets. And it's pretty cool, right? I thought that was a pretty cool endeavor, and they're on this adventure, and they're walking 3,000 plus miles. Well, I thought of this analogy. I came across this analogy, and the analogy was, imagine you were going to walk from Newport to Boston, Massachusetts. And you were standing in the road, and you were waiting for the light to turn green. And you said to the Lord, you said, I will go from Newport, Oregon, all the way to Boston, Massachusetts, when all the green lights are green. How impossible or how crazy would that be? It would never happen. That all the green lights would be green all at the same time. In fact, what really should happen is the first green light is green, and then you step and you walk towards that green light. That's how God works, right? So you go through the first green light, and then the second green light turns green, or light turns green, and then you go to the next through the next light. And as you are going, you are growing and learning and trusting and following through and learning, and your heart is growing in faith because you are trusting and obeying God. Mary said in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. She had this message from the Lord through the Gabriel, and it was about this long. Think about, she had that much information. I also heard this. I thought this was interesting. But if you can think about Gabriel, do you think he had, like, notes? Like, do you think he wrote down what God said? He went into God's office and he wrote down, okay, now say this. And I thought about this, too. And do you think God said, okay, Gabriel, if Mary asks this question, answer it this way? I have no idea. But these are just thoughts that I was thinking through. So Gabriel shares a little bit of information with Mary. And what is Mary's incredible response? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Period. She obeyed. She trusted. And she may have asked a couple of questions like, how is this going to happen? I'm a little confused. Could you give me a little more information? The angel gave her a little bit more information, but that was it. And then she said, okay, I'll do it. Now, if God told you to do something and you don't understand or know all the details, it's okay. Trust him. And obey his word. May we learn from Mary about trusting and obeying. Mary, did you know? Mary knew some from what the angel Gabriel told her. She knew the prophecies in scriptures, and she knew that the Messiah would come, and she had this probably aha moment along the way. Did she really grasp all the plan and the purposes of God at that moment? Probably not. What could she do? Well, she could trust. In fact, the song, Mary, Did You Know, describes all these questions, asking Mary, did you know? The song was written by Mark Lowry in 1984, and Susan, my wife, she and us, we looked up a bunch of different artists that sang that song that have, and there's probably 20 plus different artists, ranging from Kenny Rogers to Wynonna Judd to Clay Aiken to Pentatonix, Jordan Smith, Carrie Underwood, Dolly Parton, you name it. Many different people have done their version of Mary, Did You Know? And so the song goes like this. Mary, did you know that your son would walk on water? Did you know that... Let's not play it yet, just a sec. Did you know that your son would save sons and daughters? Did you know that he would come and make you new? Mary, did you know that he would deliver you? Mary. Did you know that he would bring sight back to the blind? He would claim the storm with his hand. That he would walk where angels trotted. And when you kiss his face, you are kissing the face of God. Mary, did you know that your son will make blind see? You make the deaf hear, bring the dead back to life, make the lame leap, and the dumb speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know the Lord of all creation one day will rule the nations? And heaven's perfect Lamb, the great I Am, is your son that you will raise. Mary, did you know? Let's listen to that song now.